Ahoy there, me hearties. This be Captain Silverhook, and you're listening to the Two Old Pirates podcast. Set sail for an open sea of stories, tales, and some really crazy stuff. I expect you to like and subscribe, lest you be walking the plank. Ha
Hey, it's Eric with the Two Old Pirates, and welcome back to episode 93. I might look a little bit tired. That's only due to because we just got done with Christmas, and there's a whole bunch of things that I got for my sons that they don't want. But today's episode is about one that's near and dear to my heart, and I guarantee you either this is going to be a bust or it's going to be one of the biggest podcast episodes we've ever had. For the majority of my life, people have only known me as a Dallas Cowboy hater. They've known me to hate the Dallas Cowboys. Every single Sunday, every single playoff game, every single preseason game, I root against the Dallas Cowboys with every fiber of my being. And you might sit there and say, oh, are you an Eagles fan or a Giants fan or a Redskins fan or a Niners fan or something? No, none of those things. I am an old Dallas Cowboy fan. I was an old fanatical Dallas Cowboy fan. When you look back to where I used to be compared to now, it's a 180. Growing up in the mid-1970s as a little boy watching the Dallas Cowboys with my dad, watching the team before was known as America's team. It wasn't coined that till 1978, and the NFL's been around since the 20s, guys, right? So don't think that it's always been America's team. But that was my team, America's team. You know, you had Preston Pearson. You had Tony Dorsett, you had Roger Staubach, you had Danny White, you had Randy White, you had Ed Too Tall Jones, you had Harvey Martin, you had Larry Cole, Bob Brunig, D.D. Lewis, goes on and on and on, all right? In the 70s, they won more games than any other NFL team. The Raiders had one of the highest winning percentages of the 70s, and they didn't win as many games as the Cowboys. In the 1970s, the Cowboys went to 5 Super Bowls, all right? So what we're talking about is the Cowboys that I grew up with, that I loved with a passion, is something that the majority of people, none of my students have ever heard me say anything positive about the Cowboys. Most of my friends over the last 34 years have never heard me say anything positive about the Cowboys. In fact, they hear about me trying to tear them down every single week during the NFL season. Every single loss, I have a smile on my face. But you're going to sit there and say, but how? How could you have been that fanatical that you still have every single NFL card from when you were a kid to this day, and you love those teams so much, so much, and yet you trash on all the modern teams? Well, it's a story, but let's start back at the past. I want to talk back about when the Dallas Cowboys formed. In 1959, some businessmen came together and they decided to go ahead and put a team in Dallas, and they're going to call it the Cowboys. It's going to be an expansion team. They said, who should we hire? There's a guy named Tom Landry who had worked for the New York Giants for years and years and years. So they hired him as a fresh coach, young coach, and he came in there. That was the epitome of what would become the Dallas Cowboys. Players came and went. Owners kind of came and went, general managers. But Tom Landry was the one significant cornerstone of that franchise that never changed. He was always the man on the sideline with his fedora hat on calling the plays. And we loved him as Cowboys fans. You know, when he got there, they had a young guy, short guy, named Eddie LeBaron. Some of you Cowboys fans, if you don't know what I'm talking about, but you're wearing your jerseys every single Saturday and Sunday, listen up, because I'm going to school you a little bit, all right? Eddie LeBaron was one of the shortest players in the NFL. He came and played for the Cowboys. Didn't really work out. That first season, I believe they lost like every single game. They got better, and they worked on it. They finally drafted a guy named Dandy Don Meredith. Ever heard of him? You might have heard of him from Monday Night Football games, but he was a hell of a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, he led them to 2 NFL championship games, which they barely lost. He also played in the Ice Bowl, where the Cowboys were inches away from going to Super Bowl I. But they lost that game. Meredith never got over that hump. And he's now kind of forgotten by most modern-day Cowboy fans. Then they got a guy named Craig Morton. Craig Morton was a decent quarterback. Craig Morton led him to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl V, against the Baltimore Colts. Yeah, not the Indianapolis Colts, the Baltimore Colts. See, I know my stuff because I love those Dallas Cowboys. I wasn't even born when that football game happened, and I can tell you everything that happened with O'Brien kicking the field goal to win it 16-13 at the end of the game, and Chuck Howley, I believe the middle linebacker or the left linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, won the MVP for the losing team. The Dallas Cowboys lost 16-13 in Super Bowl V, and still one of their players won the MVP. Think about that. Then the Cowboys go on, you know, to win Super Bowl VI, only allowing the Dolphins a field goal, winning 24-3. All right. I mean, I have a passion for those Dallas Cowboys, right? Around that time, there's a guy named Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach had graduated in the early 60s and won the Heisman Trophy for the university, or for the Naval University, Naval Academy. And then he had a military commitment. And he didn't come into the league until he was like 29. 7 years past his due date. And what did he do? He became Roger the Dodger, Captain America, the hero of little boys all over the United States, especially one in little bitty Rockport, Texas, named Eric DeWolf. I looked up to Roger Staubach like he was a true superhero. He could do anything. Anytime that you're down and you're the Dallas Cowboys, he was going to win that game. He was going to bring you back. You remember the Hail Mary against Minnesota Vikings in 1975? We're the playoff team. Threw it to Drew Pearson down the right side. Somehow Pearson pulls it in and they win. They end up going to Super Bowl X, playing Pittsburgh Steelers, who was demolishing everybody with their defense, and we barely lose, 21-17. And I'm going to tell you a little trivia thing about there. There's one man on the Dallas Cowboys, I believe his number 81, Percy Howard, I believe his name was. He caught the last second touchdown pass by Roger Staubach on a bomb into the end zone. Made it 21-17, and the Cowboys got the ball back again. They held. They got the ball back again, and they had another chance, and Percy Howard almost caught that one, and it went off his helmet. If he would have caught that, the Cowboys would have won Super Bowl X in one of the most dramatic fashions ever. Bet you didn't know those stories. But for me, most people know, there's the hater. There's DeWolf. He hates the Dallas Cowboys. I don't hate the Dallas Cowboys. I hate the Dallas Cowboys now, but those Dallas Cowboys, those were mine. Yeah, Cliff Harris. Charlie Waters, the two greatest safeties at the time, maybe next to Mel Blunt of the Steelers. But we know, if you remember Cliff Harrison, Charlie Waters in that secondary. So you had Butch Johnson, and after he'd score a touchdown, he would give you... You had Tony Hill streaking down the sidelines with blazing speed. You had Drew Pearson always making that just unimaginable catch, somehow keeping them in it. All right? You had Billy Joe Dupree, one of the premier... tight ends that most of you guys never heard of. And I remember his backup, who rarely ever got to play, Jay Salby. I mean, you're talking to a man who is passionate about his team. And you guys are passionate about, oh, Dak might do this. Romo might do this. They didn't win anything. But that's still not the reason why I hate the Dallas Cowboys. To show you how dedicated I was, I used to beg my parents if I could stay up late. I forgot what night it was on, but there used to be the number one show in the country was called Dallas, about the Ewings and the oil business. I didn't give a crap about any of that stuff. I was a little kid. But I'd stay up on those nights because in the intro, there was a mini clip of a plane flying over Texas Stadium. And you could see down through the hole in the top of the stadium and see the end zone where it said Cowboys. That's how fanatic I was. That's how much love I had for this team, just to have that nanosecond. And then I'd be like, I'd have to go to bed. Do you know when they built the original Texas Stadium, why there was a hole in top? I mean, partial coverage in one end zone, partial coverage in the other end zone, and then the middle, sunlight beaming straight down. It's because when they built it, they said they wanted to leave a hole for God to be able to watch his team play. Did you know that? Of course, that's all gone now because we have to have the big, you know, stadium that we have now that takes you further and further away from the game. I had... the cards, I had the shirts, I had the shoes, I had the footballs. I ate and slept the Dallas Cowboys. When Roger Staubach came on and announced that he was going to retire because he had had four or five concussions that year that he could remember, and he knew there was something wrong, and he was also much, much older. 38 or 39 was an old quarterback back then. I cried. I was an 8-year-old little boy. And my superhero was going to retire. He was going to turn everything over to Danny White, who had been the backup quarterback and the full team full-time punter for the team. You guys remember Danny White? Yeah. Well, he didn't win anything. Romo didn't win anything. Dak didn't win anything. Danny White led them to three freaking NFC championships in a row. In a freaking row. So them going to the Super Bowl five times in the 70s, it almost started off with going to the Super Bowl three times in the 80s. And you might say, there's almost, Eric, almost. Did Romo ever lead them to an NFC championship? Has Dak ever done that? With all the talent that they have around him and stuff now, we had an older Cowboys team. Dorsett was getting older. The defense was getting older. And they still went to three straight NFC championship games. In 1980, in that first NFC championship game, they had to play up in Philadelphia. Bitterly cold game. Couldn't get anything going on offense. And the Eagles, they were just good. 20-7 they lost. 1981, they had to go into Candlestick Park. It was muddy. They're leading. And Joe Montana throws it to Dwight Clark in the end zone for what's known as the catch over Everson Walls, I believe, rookie of the year that year. He caught 11 interceptions. Everybody remembers the catch. They don't remember what happened after that. They don't remember Danny White getting the ball back with maybe less than a minute left, hitting Drew Pearson over the middle, and he almost escapes, but he's caught by a cornerback over the middle who takes him down in a hog collar tackle from behind at about the San Francisco 35. There's still 25, 30 seconds left in the game. They call a timeout. All they have to do is get about maybe 5 or 10 more yards for Rafael Septian to come in and kick the field goal from about 50 yards out. And if he makes it, they go to the Super Bowl. Joe Montana doesn't start his four Super Bowls yet. But Fred Dean came in from the left side and nobody blocked him. And he hit Danny White from behind and he fumbled. And the game was over 28-27. People forget that, but not us fanatics. So you might sit there and say, Eric, man, there's so much freaking passion here. Yeah. I still can't watch that game. That game was 42 years ago. 43. I can't watch it. It broke my heart because I saw how close we were, how much Danny White almost brought us back. Next year, we have to go on the road again, RFK Stadium, against the Redskins. Dexter Manley, right? The Hogs up front, John Riggins, Theismann. And they beat us by 2 touchdowns. Danny White was knocked out of the game. And they went to the Super Bowl. Those are three straight opportunities that we didn't quite finish and get to the Super Bowl, but we could have. By 1986, White was looking old. He had already been knocked out of numerous games the previous, 4 or 5 years. We had a guy named Steve Pelor and Gary Hogaboom. Those guys came in and tried to do what they could. It just wasn't the same. They went 7-9 in 1986. They went 7-9 in 1987. In 1988, they went 3-13. They were getting worse. Drew Pearson, Tony Hill, they didn't have the speed that they used to have. Most of the defense was having to retire. And as a Cowboys fan, it was not entertaining watching those games thinking, man, we're watching our heroes. We're watching the guys that had been there since the glory days slip away. Tony Dorsett didn't have what he used to have. Everybody gets older, and it was sad. But there was one main constant. The man with the fedora on the side of, on the sideline. The man with the fedora on the sidelines, Mr. Tom Landry. He was still there. He had been there in 1960 when they couldn't win a game. And now he was there in 1988 when they were going through a rough spot of 3-13. They had had one of the longest playoff streaks broken several years back. But they had made the playoffs it was like 20 years in a row or something like that. They were special. When the 88 season ended and 1989 rolled around, the owner, Bum Bright, of the Dallas Cowboys decided to sell. On February 25th, the day after my birthday, 1989, he sold it to an oil man that wanted to get into the NFL business named Jerry Jones. This is where I did my 180, folks. And this is where I did my I hate the Dallas Cowboys and will root against every single thing that they've ever done and ever will do with every fiber of my being. I went from a passionate, fanatical fan that watched every single game. Actually got to go to one way back in 1982, Thanksgiving game. I'll never forget, the only time I ever went to a Cowboys game with my dad. It's a miracle ending at the end, beating the Bears on Thanksgiving Day. Watching Staubach, Danny White, all those players, collecting their everything. Everything that you think can go into being a crazy Cowboy fan. I did all those. And then February 25th, 1989 happened. And Jerry Jones bought the team. As Tom Landry was sitting in his office at Texas Stadium, he got a phone call from a reporter from the Dallas Morning News that he was very, very friendly with, that had covered the Cowboys for a long, long time. He said, "Tom, did you hear?" And Landry was all like, "What?" He knew that there might be a sale going on and stuff, but, you know, he was Tom Landry. He said, "You're fired. I hate to tell you that, but we just found out." Can you imagine the shock of that? 1960, Eisenhower was still president. The Vietnam War was 4 years into the future. The Beatles were 4 years into the future. I mean, so much had changed. And he was the constant. He was there through LeBaron, through Meredith, Morton, Staubach, White. And he was fired. But not by the man who bought the team. Not face to face. He had to hear it from a news reporter who was breaking the story that Tom Landry, the entire soul, the epitome of the Dallas Cowboys, was no longer. And that Jerry Jones's Arkansas football friend, Jimmy Johnson, would be the new head coach. He didn't have the guts to come in and sit down across from Tom Landry and say, "Hey, Tom, it's been a great ride. I'm going to let you retire. I don't want to do this publicly. You've meant so much to the people of Dallas. You created America's team. I mean, you literally did. But I'm going to go in a different direction. I want to give you the peace and honor that you deserve." No. He bought the team and immediately said, "Jimmy Johnson's our man," which means Tom Landry's gone. He didn't even allow him to sit there and have a portion of the team, like president of the team, or just bullshit it, make something up. And if Landry didn't want to accept it, he could say, "Yeah, I'm getting a little bit older. I think I'm going to retire and step away." And that didn't happen. He embarrassed him. He embarrassed the man. And after that day, I have rooted every single day against the Dallas Cowboys. Under Jones, the first year with the Dallas Cowboys, with Jimmy Johnson, 1-15. Fire him. Get him out of there, because the 3-13 team, that deserved Tom Landry to be fired. Ah, no, it's going to get better. Next year, 7-9, another losing record. Ah, it's going to get better. And it did. Jerry Jones, in some way, sold his soul. Because after that, they went 11-5. Then they won a Super Bowl, won another Super Bowl, almost made the Super Bowl, and won another Super Bowl. But after that second Super Bowl, Jerry Jones, even to Jimmy Johnson, thought, "It's my team, not yours." So Jimmy Johnson was kicked out. And, you know, I think Jerry Jones just thought, "I can do anything." So he brings in Barry Switzer, and Barry Switzer leads him to the NFC Championship, and they lose with Jimmy Johnson's team. And then the next year, they win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's team. So Switzer was just a patsy. He was just somebody to fill in. Those teams have been built by Jimmy Johnson, because he told Jerry Jones, "I want full power." And Jerry Jones was like, "Do it. We suck. Do it." And he built that team through draft picks and coaching, and they won two Super Bowls. And I hated both Super Bowl wins, because I didn't hold it against Jimmy Johnson, though. It's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones sold out and won three Super Bowls in 4 years, and they've done shit since. They haven't played in an NFC Championship, I don't think, since then. They've gone 27 seasons without making it past the second round of the playoffs. You've had Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett. Now you're on to Mike McCarthy. So I know I've come down kind of hard on you Dallas Cowboy fans, but I want to let you know, I think we're all cut from the same, you know, I think we're all the same at heart. The problem was with what Jerry Jones did to Tom Landry, you know, I'm looking at, you see that? That's Roger Staubach. That's a sugar-free Dr. Pepper from 1979. You know, shows on the back all these accomplishments that he did. And shows the years, 69 to 79, that he played for the Dallas Cowboys. I bought four of these. These are the old 1 quart, 32 ounces from 1979. Bought four of them. Don't like Diet Dr. Pepper back then. I was a kid. I was eight. Had to have it. Roger the Dodger was on there. So that's one thing. When I went to school, before they really used backpacks like they do now, I took my own little Dallas Cowboy duffel bag and I put stuff in it. All right. This is probably a good 40 years old, something like that. Hell, probably older than that. Of course, you know, Sonic would give out free cups, and being a Dallas Cowboy fan, you know, I had to have my Dallas Cowboys with the old helmet with the two bars coming off. This is a hell, I don't know, maybe 40, 41 years ago. Oh, another one. See, because when you're a Cowboy fan like me, you got to have both. See the blue outline? All right, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, Sonic. All right. Of course, when I went to school, we had to wear those really thick, I think, fireproof pants. We had to have a belt. All right. This is a leather belt, the Dallas Cowboys, that I wore to school to show my love and admiration for the Dallas Cowboys. I was always showing my love and admiration. I had the Tony Dorsett shoes. I'll put up a picture of them. You name it. Ooh, when I was getting a little bit older, the 86 Cowboys. Ooh, look at that. There is Danny White and Steve Pelure. All right. And where's old Tom at? Old Tom is right there. Tom freaking Landry. He didn't know that two more seasons after this, he'd be unemployed. And the creme de la creme to show you just how passionate I was about the Dallas Cowboys. It's old. And as you see, oops. Yeah. And if you can tell, yeah, signed by Tom Landry. This is an actual 1970s helmet that was cut in half. Everything was taken out. This is authentic. You can't find these. All right. Let me see if I can get there. You can't find these. So anybody out there thinking, Eric's just a hater, you have no idea how much love I have for this team. Jerry Jones ruined all that. So I hope that you enjoyed this short little episode about the reason why. So if you're a friend of mine, Sean or Thomas, Eric, oh hell, Houston, anybody who's been friends over all the years, David, Lewis, Gabriel, you should all know that I was just like you, except with Jerry Jones and what he did to Tom Landry. I will root against him forever until Jerry Jones is no longer the owner. If he sells that team, I don't know, my old rusty, crackety, arthritic butt might jump back into the Dallas Cowboys all over again. That's holding a grudge. Maybe insane, but you don't do that to Tom Landry. He was the Dallas Cowboys, and Jerry Jones screwed him. So, I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Two Old Pirates, and that you'll like, subscribe, and share. It's coming near the end of the year. and we have a really cool episode coming up next. So please share this with any Dallas Cowboy fan and get it out there. Why I hate the Dallas Cowboys and why I still love them. Until next time, peace. I'm Eric. Take it easy, guys.